Acts chapter 26, verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. In another text, the Bible said Paul beckoned with his hand. And not every preacher is alike, but a lot of us are like Brother Brian. If you've ever heard him teach Sunday school, he's always moving them hands. You know what I mean? He talks with his hands. But Paul is beckoning with his hand, stretched forth his hand. And he said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. If correctly read, that's verse 1 through 6. We'll be looking at some other parts of the chapter. But I want to just talk to you a few minutes after we pray about two things we need to have a happy new year. Paul said, I think myself happy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of the Word of God, that it is a living book. God, that it will help us each and every day of our life if we will look into it. I pray, Father, today that you'd speak to hearts. Help us, we do pray, that when we leave here, Lord, we can be determined by the grace of God to have a new year that, Lord, would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you for being here today once again. The Apostle Paul, here in the chapter, has been locked up. He's not free, so to speak, as far as society goes, but he's free in his spirit. He's free in Christ. He looks for an opportunity, even in the hard times, so to speak, or the bad times, so to speak, to let his light shine for the glory of God Almighty. Brother Steve, my mind went back and only because of the slides was reminded of the desires. And we had no idea when we were facing 2020 what we would be facing. No idea whatsoever. It'd be a good time to stop and say this. I had forgotten to mention it, but Bob's brother, Rich, is doing much better. He's home. And they wanted us to know that they appreciated the church praying for him. It didn't look good for many, many, many days. But God, amen, many of our people are suffering, but God. We have no idea. I sent this message out, I think, yesterday morning or the day before, what this year holds. But we know who holds this year. The same one that holds me in the palm of his hand holds this year in the palm of his hand. Nothing will take him by surprise. And I'll get to the message in just a moment, but it's a very simple message, but I think sometimes we overlook the simplicity of being happy. Lots of people are not happy, and I'll tell you why. Because they're trying to be happy. We're not happy by trying to be happy. We're happy by trusting the Lord and serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. I might say this morning. When we serve the Lord, we serve others. Our life becomes about someone beside ourselves. I met up with a fellow the other night to purchase something that he had for sale. And I told my wife when I got home, I said it was a divine appointment. This man was miserable. He was in a turmoil. He was quick to talk about a church that he went to, which he hadn't been going to recently because of COVID. He was quick to mention the Bible. And perhaps because he knew that I was a pastor, I don't know, but he was quick in his conversation to mention some different things. And I could tell he was troubled. And can I say this? There's a lot of people in this world troubled. A lot of people troubled. And I called the man's name. He was standing outside my vehicle. And I said, let me ask you this. It just cuts through all the chase. I said, if you were to die, if you were to drop dead right now, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? Here was his response. He said, I absolutely do not know that. And Brother Steve, I talked to him a few minutes. He promised me he would go watch the video, that if he had any questions, he would call me. I'm still looking for him to get saved. You say, preacher, why? Because I'm praying for him. And I believe that God has already begun a work in his heart, amen, and in his life. And I think it'll be wonderful to see him saved by the grace of God. I ask you the same question this morning. Most of the time the question would be reserved for the invitation. But as I begin in the message today, if you left this world today, and beloved, there's people leaving this world in very early years, but if you left this world today, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? One thing I've discovered in the ministry, all of us should know that, you don't have to be old to leave this world, and you don't have to be sick to leave this world. We're all leaving, one way or another, we're all leaving. The only thing that would keep that from happening by death would be the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and go to be with our Lord. There's two things I want to give you. They're simple, but I believe it's imperative that we get these truths this morning. Two things that I want to give you here in Acts chapter number 26 that Paul had that I believe every one of us need if we're going to have the kind of new year that God wants us to have. I mentioned a while ago that trying to be happy or living just to be happy. I want to be happy. There's people reaching for it and they never attain it. And they don't understand where true happiness comes from. Paul was not trying to be happy. Paul was just happy. He was happy because his life was no longer centered around himself, but it was now centered around his Savior. And what a blessing it is to live a life that is no longer centered around ourselves, but centered around our Savior. I want to read this to you before we get into the message. A fascinating study on the principle of the golden rule. That was do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Conducted by Bernard Rimland, director of the Institute for Child Behavior Research, Rimland found that the happiest people are those who help others. Each person involved in the study was asked to list 10 people he knew best to label them as happy or not happy. Then they were to go through the list again and label each one as selfish or unselfish. The same list. Using the following definition of selfishness, a stable tendency to devote one's time and resources to one's own interest and welfare, an unwillingness to inconvenience one's self for others. That's what selfishness, a definition of selfishness. Now here's what he found. Categorizing the results, Rimland found that all the people that were labeled happy were also labeled unselfish. How many believes that? I believe that's it, right there. A husband that just lives for himself. He's not the happy husband. A wife or especially a child of God that does not consider others in all that they do. And here's what he said. He wrote that those whose activities are devoted to bringing themselves happiness are far less likely to be happy than those whose efforts are devoted to making others happy. I believe with all of my heart, one of the little acronyms that we learned early in our Christian life was joy. That's Jesus first. Others, O, and then the Y is yourself. And I believe that many of the people in the world today, that the way they spell joy, they don't have it because it comes out Y-O-J. It's yourself first, others, and then if there's anything left over, Jesus gets it. Amen? Can I say this? Our Lord is not worthy of leftovers. He's worthy of the first fruits in our life. Amen? And we love Him because that He first loved us. The first thing I want to give you in the message today, two things we need if we're to have a happy new year. Number one is the word hope. We need hope. H-O-P-E. Hope in the Word of God, listen to me carefully, is a synonym for faith. If you'll read the book of Romans, the Bible said we're saved by hope. Well, if you read the book of Ephesians, the same writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Bible hope is different than saying, "Well, I hope so-and-so comes over, or I hope I get this for Christmas, or I hope I get this for my birthday." Bible hope is a genuine faith, taking God at His word. And the Apostle Paul said in verse number 6, "I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Beloved, listen, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but we need to get a hold of this. This could be the year. Hallelujah. Brother Steve, I about come unglued when you ask about how many lost a loved one. Because in my mind, in my heart, as I went over, as God was leading me to preach, I went through our church in my mind. And the only reason I will not start with names is that it would be impossible for me to remember just in the 7 short years the precious saints of God that have left these pews and went to heaven. But you say, "Preacher, you say we can have a happy year?" Yes, because we can have hope. Amen. There's a reunion coming. And this can be the year, beloved, listen, that we get to reunite with our saved loved ones around the throne of God. Hope. Hope, it was a result of two things. It was a result of regeneration. In verse number 13, "At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven." Can I ask you a question? Has the light of Jesus Christ ever shined in your heart? The Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. You say, "Preacher, it's the same old, same old." Well, if it's the same old, you ain't never met Jesus. Amen? Because when you meet Jesus, beloved, listen, the sin is forgiven and the guilt is gone. And you realize, listen, if you breathe your last breath, it's okay, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It's a blessing. Amen? Regeneration. It happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. He said, "At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?'" Hallelujah. Has there ever been a time in your life when one-on-one, you came one-on-one with the Lord Jesus? I'm glad, listen, that the Apostle Paul knew that he had been saved by the grace of God. And there's something God wants me to bring out in this chapter here. He said, "My manner of life," in verse number 4, "from my youth." Paul had been religious all of his life.
But Paul was not saved until he was on the road to Damascus. Amen. And he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many Sunday school pens you have. It doesn't matter how much offering you put in the plate through the years. It doesn't matter how much Bible you've read through the years. It doesn't matter what others think. I'm telling you, beloved, unless there's ever been a time in your life when it was the sinner that came in contact with the Savior and the Savior saved the sinner, then there's a need for regeneration. And this year that we're living in, many will not have hope because they do not have Jesus. They've never been born again. Regeneration is a result of this hope. Paul traded the religion that he had had all of his life for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this today. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Don't ever be guilty of hanging on to something, whether it's a profession, whether it's an experience. Don't ever be guilty of hanging on to something that has not changed your life, that has not brought peace in your heart, that has not brought assurance that if you died, it's okay because heaven will be my home. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Paul was trying. He was trying to serve God. He thought he was doing God a service by locking up the Christians and persecuting and even killing them in those days. But it took God to change his mind. It took God, as Brother Mitchell said, to come to the Apostle Paul and help Paul to take sides with God against himself. It took an encounter with a holy God for that to happen. Hope is a result of regeneration. I thank God that Paul traded religion for a relationship. I had 6.5 years church membership. I can honestly say that the night that I got saved, there was not a person in that building that didn't believe that I was saved. Not one. There wasn't a person in my family that didn't believe that I was saved. Because I was literally, Brother Preston, trying to do right. I remember when my first baby was born and how I was living and the sinful life that I was living and thinking, my Lord, I can't keep living like this. And I wanted a change. And then I got in the church and I told them that I was saved. And the reason I told them that is because I thought that meant believing the facts. And I had believed the facts all my life, that the Bible's the Word of God. Jesus was the Christ, that He died on the cross, that He rose again the third day. I believed that ever since I was old enough to believe anything. Then I got in church and started hearing people's testimony. And then something called pride welled up in my life. Now, in order to get right with God, I was going to have to swallow that pride. I was going to have to admit that things were never right. I'll never shall forget, I told the young man this on Friday. I believe with all my heart, as long as I have a memory at all, I'll never forget Brother Wishon's arm going around my shoulder in an old-fashioned altar and saying these words, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. He said, son, ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over. I tell you, beloved, that's a fact, amen. Your pride's not worth dying and going to hell over. Anything in this world, the Bible said, what shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You say, Pastor, how do you know you're going to have a happy new year? I'll tell you how. I have hope. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. There's hope. It was a result of regeneration in Paul's life, but it was also a result of the resurrection in Paul's life. Listen to me. There's a place that I do not enjoy going, and that's the cemetery. I don't enjoy going there. Listen, I'm not being critical. If you like going and going back and visiting the graves, listen, unless something changes in my life, the next time I see my daddy, it won't be at a gravestone. Amen. He's buried in Damascus, Virginia. I know exactly where he's buried. I ain't been to Damascus and ain't got no plans to go visit him because he ain't there. When I talk to him over yonder. Amen. I know where he is. But listen to me. I'm not being critical. If that helps you and comforts you, that's fine. But I'm telling you, beloved, our loved ones that died in Christ are not in that ground. To be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord. There's an old house, an old tabernacle that was buried. And thank God, God's going to give them a new house, a new tabernacle one day. It'll be reunited with that soul in hope of the resurrection. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When a man gets saved and regenerated, he has a hope of the resurrection. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 1 with me for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, these verses of Scripture, you talk about a happy new year. Thank God we can have one. Amen. When the world is rocking and reeling, you and I that are saved by the grace of God can have a happy new year. The Bible said in verse 3, of 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That word lively there means living. Our hope is not dead. Our hope is alive to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Beloved, listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have a reservation in heaven. Amen. And the Word of God said, who kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13 for just a moment. Turn back over to the book of Hebrews. Listen, I believe this is important. Paul, he said, I think myself happy. How can you be happy, Paul? You've got chains on you. How can you be happy, Paul? You've been locked up for doing the right thing. He said, I'll tell you how. I have hope. I have hope. I have hope. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 13. And when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiply, and I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In other words, God can't change his mind. He's not going to change his promise. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Beloved, listen, I'm facing this new year with hope. My hope is in God. Hope comes from regeneration, but it also comes from resurrection. Look at verse 19. It's important. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Beloved, when the storms are coming, and the wind is blowing, and the waves of trouble are over our head, we can still think ourselves happy because we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As a result of the resurrection, as a result of regeneration. Titus chapter 2. Let me show you a verse of Scripture here and I'll move on to the last thing. Titus chapter 2. This is important. Paul had hope. Do you have hope? If you laid over in that pew right now and never breathed another breath, do you have hope? Do you know that you know that you know that heaven would be your home? The Word of God said in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What are we supposed to be looking for? What are we supposed to be looking for? Listen to me carefully. I'm not being mean. Are we supposed to be looking for the stock market to rise? Are we supposed to be looking for a stimulus check? What are God's people supposed to be looking for this year? Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Rose, next time I see Sister Barbara, she ain't going to be frail. I talked to Brother Zeke yesterday. Breaks my heart. He's over at Wexford House now. Talked to Sister Margaret. Weeping, she said, Pastor, I can't be with him. People's hearts are broken. And I want you to know something. There's hope that keeps us going down the track for the glory of God Almighty. Hope. The Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It'll change your year if you'll get up looking for Him. If you'll have lunch looking for Him. If you'll have dinner looking for Him. If you'll lay your head down looking for Him. It'll change your year because hope makes a difference. How many people are in this world that have no hope? None whatsoever. How many people, beloved, listen, through this pandemic have just given up because they have no hope? I want you to know this. God's people have hope. It's real. Hope. Two things we need to have a happy new year. The first one's hope. The second one, let me get a drink of water. The second one is just as important as hope. By the way, before I move on, let me say this. God's not looking down at my suit, my tie. God's looking down in here. He knows my hope is real. He knows my heart has been cleansed. He knows my desires, Brother Steve. And I want you to know this. He knows yours as well. There's somebody here this morning, if you'd be honest, you'd say the same thing that man said on Friday. You'd say, I have no idea. I do not know. I absolutely do not know if I died, I'd go to heaven. If you get honest, you know what God do for you? He save you. I go back. I'm not going to say a lot about it, but I'll never forget it. I come into church. I wasn't feeling well. Thought about staying out of Sunday school that morning, just resting, trying to get to feel a little better. The Lord just nudged me and said, you need to go. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Sitting right there, it's roped off right now, that second pew. And Brother Brian said, right here at the table. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He closed his Bible. He said, there ain't going to be no Sunday school lesson this morning. You want to know why? He said to us, I've never been saved. He come to the end of his rope. You know what he found? Hope. He come in the building that morning with no hope. and left. He couldn't hardly stop talking about it. He was just like Paul. He just wanted to tell it over and over and over and over again. What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying, friend. You listen to me carefully. It don't matter what man thinks of you. You better know that your Heavenly Father, you've met up with Him. You've come to a place in your life where you were the sinner. By the way, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we was all good at it. Somebody say amen. Good at it. Even my little grandchildren. It scares me sometimes how good they are at it. I think they got it from their mamaw. Amen. Hope. The second thing, if you don't have it this morning, you can. You can leave this building this morning and look at the whole world, look up at the sky and say, Jesus, if you come, I'm going home with you. You can tell the whole world, there's a lot I don't know, but I know if I die, I'm going to heaven. Beloved, that is the main thing. The second thing, let's go back to Acts chapter 26, that I want to give you this morning. Paul, he said, I think myself happy. How many of y'all would like to have a happy new year? Would at least desire to have a happy new year? The first thing is hope. The second thing, we're not going to have a happy new year without it. Jump over, if you will, to verse number 22. The word of God said, having therefore obtained, what's the next word? Help. If I make it through this year, and I have the blessed privilege to introduce someone to Jesus, if I make it through this year and I don't ruin my testimony, if I make it through this year and at the end of the year my life has brought honor and brought glory to my Heavenly Father, I'm going to tell you this, I realize this right now, I cannot do it without His help. I need help. Watch what the Bible said. The Apostle Paul, he said, having therefore obtained the help of who? Of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen. Maybe somebody here, pastor included, you never know what temptation you're going to face from one day to the next. What if every one of us took this message home? And every time we're faced with that temptation, we just said, oh God, I need help. What if every time Paul said, I've obtained the help of God to continue witnessing both to the small and the great. Every time God nudges our heart, Brother Preston, to say a word for Christ, to be a light in this dark world. Every time we're tempted to clam up. What if we just whispered, oh God, I need help. What if every time, beloved, our hearts break? What if we just looked up and said, oh God, I need help. I guarantee you this, it's scriptural. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. What if every time trouble comes, we just looked up and said, oh God, I need help. You know what I believe? If you read in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are in prison. They've been beaten. They're bleeding. The prison in those days, Brother Adam, it wasn't even like going to the Sullivan County Jail. Lots of times there was sewage running through and under their feet. I've been in some of the prisons in Jerusalem. There was just loops hewn out in the stone, and they stuck their hands through, and they locked something on their hands on the backside of the loop. It was dark. It was damp. It stunk. And there's Paul and Silas. I don't know this, but it could be before they started praising God and praying that one of them said, "Oh God, we need help. They're just men just like we are." I believe with all of my heart, even in this virus situation that we're in, we'd be a lot better off as a country. Not to look to the smarty pants for the answer, but look to the Savior for the answer. Oh God, we need help. I can't wait to see everybody be able to come back to church. But I'll tell you this, God is a very present help. I believe when a born-again believer, even a sinner that's being sincere with God, would say, "God, I need help," I believe He's there, just like that. Help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those that the prophets and Moses did say should come. You drop on down a few lines. Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." Listen, it should not be true. But the furthest thing from a lot of believers' minds and their New Year's resolutions and all that is asking God to help them to be an influence in somebody else's life, that they might come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. Paul, even though he was locked up, he said in verse 18, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in His name. Have you ever been turned from darkness to light? From the power of Satan unto the Lord? If you have, you know it. But let me say this. If you haven't, you know it as well. Pride gets in the way of being honest. But if we'll be honest, God will be right there to help us. Right there to help us. We can have a happy new year, but not without hope and not without help. Brother Steve, we can see this platform for Christmas next year. But you know what? If we give up hope, there won't even be enough people to fill the positions. We got to have hope. We can see, Brother Ralph, the choir full on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Once again. By the way, I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. What would be wrong with it being full on Wednesday night? Say amen. Don't look at me like that. God's just as worthy of our praise on Wednesday night as He is Sunday morning and Sunday night. It wouldn't do nothing but help the preacher, and he needs help. Say amen right there. We need help. Help one another. We need hope. God's right there to help us. We need to be calling on Him. We've got people right now that need help. I mean, desperately need help. God's going to have to do it. He's going to have to help them. We can have a happy new year, but not without hope and not without help. My help. The Bible said, lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm glad this morning we have access to all the help that we need. Let's bow for prayer this morning.